Blog Talk Radio. In a recent blistering report on poverty in America, Philip Alston, the United Nations expert on extreme poverty and human rights, was blunt in his assessment about the state of poverty in the United States and the societal problems that stem from the government's failure to recognize the plight of the poor and middle class and develop effective policies to improve their living conditions. Alston was appointed by the UN's Human Rights Council to look into poverty and human rights violations around the world. Alston described the United States as a land of stark contrast. On the one hand, it is one of the world's wealthiest societies with unsurpassed technological advances and a global leader in many areas. But on the other hand, 40 million Americans are living in poverty. Of that number, 13.3 million are children. Alston said his investigation revealed that American public policies often criminalize the poor and that these policies are rooted in persistent and chronic racial bias, misperceptions, and long-standing structural discrimination. Alston added that the Trump administration's cuts to the nation's welfare programs and other policies are worsening inequality. Alston explained his findings further in a news conference.
One of the things that I do talk about in the report is racism and the fact that the portrayal in the media and certainly in a lot of the political discourse is that poor people are essentially black and we white people shouldn't have to support lazy black people. So that has that sort of narrative, which is patently false in terms of the statistics, nonetheless encourages a lot of the white base to think, yeah, we're not going to be taken for a ride by black people. We're in favor of these cutbacks. But what they're going to find is that they are victimized every bit as much as the African Americans and the Hispanics.
In his report, Alston said that there are 8 million more poor white people in the U.S. than poor black people. Contrary to public perception, Alston said the majority of poor people were born into poverty or thrust there by circumstances beyond their control, such as physical or mental disabilities, divorce, family breakdown, illness, old age, unlivable wages, or discrimination in the job market. Alston also found that many American cities and counties use law enforcement to raise revenue to fund their criminal justice system and other government programs by charging fines and fees for minor infractions. Due to racial bias and racial disparities in the criminal justice system, he said this practice unfairly targets African Americans and the poor and keeps people trapped in poverty. According to the Sentencing Project, a nonprofit organization, the United States has the highest incarceration rate in the world, with 2.2 million people locked up in the nation's prisons and jails. African Americans are more likely than white Americans to be arrested. Once arrested, they are more likely to be convicted, and once convicted, they are more likely to experience lengthy prison sentences. Additionally, poor people generally cannot afford to pay the penalties that law enforcement charges for minor infractions, so they incur additional fines, are subject to suspension of their driver's license for non-driving offenses, and eventually imprisoned. Unlike wealthier Americans, the poor often cannot afford to post bail, so even though they are presumed innocent, they have to remain in jail until trial. As a result, their family life is disrupted, they lose much-needed income or their job, and they cannot pay rent. And when they get out of prison, a criminal record makes it harder for them to find a job and housing and become self-sufficient. Alston said it's a vicious cycle. Alston insists that America's urge to punish rather than assist the poor is a self-defeating strategy. Because families are destroyed, children are left parentless, and the burden on the government increases. Alston's report did not address Trump's immigration policy of separating children at the border, from their families and the ensuing chaos. But when asked about the issue at his news conference, Alston said the policy is consistent with America's approach to dealing with serious social issues.
The need to lock up homeless people resonates with the need to lock up the children of would-be immigrants. And yet we know that imprisonment in many of those contexts is extremely damaging and not productive. But it remains a preferred option because it sends a message, a rather brutal message. The second link, I think, is that in both cases there is a complete lack of compassion. There is, as I've said, contempt basically for those living in poverty. They are losers who haven't made it on their own, and there is no reason why the government should ever assist them. And I think would-be immigrants, legal or illegal, are seen in the same sort of light. They're just losers. But what they've really lost is their humanity. They no longer deserve to be treated with the basic decency that international human rights standards demands be accorded to everyone. So I think those are the commonalities, and it's worrying. I mean, there's a very interesting dynamic, I think. To the extent that you treat foreigners badly, you begin by saying, but, you know, this is not our own people. These are awful foreigners that we don't like and don't want. So we're not going to accord them any rights. I don't think it's all that big a step then to say, well, there are people within our own society who we think have forfeited the right to be treated as humans, treated humanely. I think once you have departed from that basic commitment to minimum humane standards, it doesn't usually stop at the borders.
While the U.S. economy is currently booming, Alston warns that growing income inequality and widespread poverty undermines sustained economic growth, which limits economic opportunities. This not only hurts the poor, but the middle class. High inequality also causes other problems, like disparities in the educational system, poor education outcomes, and inadequate health care. Despite having the most expensive healthcare system in the world, Alston's investigation revealed that American citizens are sicker and have a shorter lifespan than people in other wealthy democracies. Alston stated in his report that the U.S. healthcare system spends 8 times as much to achieve the same life expectancy as in Chile and Costa Rica, and the maternal mortality rates of African Americans in the United States are almost double those in Thailand. America also has the highest rates of infant mortality, youth mortality, and obesity than other developed countries. In a study that was published earlier this year in Health Affairs, researchers found that children in the United States have a greater risk of dying than children in 19 other developed countries. These alarming death statistics were primarily attributed to pregnancy-related causes, automobile accidents, and firearm assaults. Data from 2001 to 2010 revealed that children ages 15 to 19 were 82 times more likely to die from gun-related homicides in the United States. Alston said U.S. officials must recognize that health care is a human right. He said universal health care would rescue millions of Americans from misery, save money on emergency care, increase employment, and generate a healthier, more productive workforce. Alston also warned U.S. officials that extreme inequality threatens the well-being of American democracy.
On democracy, The argument in my report is that the persistence of widespread poverty in the US and the growth of inequality has led to a situation in which the rights of we say the rights of the poor, but we're not really talking about people who are destitute and living in terrible poverty. We're talking about maybe the bottom 20% of the income quintile. So it's a large part of the population. Their rights are increasingly ignored. They become invisible in the political process. So no policies and programs are pitched by either political party. You have a handful of Democrats who are famous for their concern for the poor, but it's no longer a major issue for the Democratic Party as a whole. It's quite contentious, I think. The Republican Party, on the other hand, has completely given up.
Alston noted that the United States has one of the lowest voter turnout rates in elections among developed countries. Alston found that voter turnout among poor people and people of color is low because many of them do not believe that the outcome of an election will have any impact on their lives, and poor people are preoccupied with the daily task of trying to survive and make ends meet. Another factor contributing to low voter turnout, Alston said, are policies that systematically deprive poor people, minorities, and ex-felons of their democratic right to vote. The Sentencing Project states that one in every 13 black adults in the United States are prohibited from voting because of a felony conviction. And overall, an estimated 6.1 million Americans are barred from voting due to felony disenfranchisement laws.
You've got all the efforts to exclude people from voting through manipulation of voter ID laws. You've got the policy that was upheld by the Supreme Court in the Ohio case a couple of weeks ago of removing the vote from people who have not recently voted in elections, even though the demonstrated impact of that policy fell very heavily on poor people and was also demonstrated to be politically one-sided. I think those sorts of efforts are symptomatic of a broader move away from a deep commitment to democracy. They're reinforced then by the billionaire cabinet, by the appointment as agency heads of people who represent extremely wealthy corporate interests, the rollback of regulations across a wide range of areas, health, safety, security, environment, most of which are actually designed to help poorer people, because rich people can avoid living in problematic areas, they can avoid buying problematic products, and they can ride it out above the world that needs regulation. But poor people who don't know what's going on are the ones for whom regulations are particularly important. So one of this administration's major achievements has been the slashing of those regulations, and I think there's a highly disproportionate impact on the poor.
The U.S. Supreme Court case, Alston referenced, was decided on June 11, 2018. The court upheld an Ohio state policy that removes voters from the voting rolls on residency grounds if they fail to return a card verifying their address and if they fail to vote for a total of 6 years. In a dissenting opinion, Justice Sonia Sotomayor said, the court's ruling entirely ignores the history of voting suppression in America and appears to further disenfranchise minorities, low-income workers, veterans, disabled individuals, and the homeless who have difficulty voting due to inflexible work hours, transportation issues, and other obstacles. Alston also cited gerrymandering, which is the process of redrawing district lines to give one political party an advantage over another, as another ploy to deprive minorities, people living in poverty, and other disfavored groups of their right to vote. This concludes part two of my story on poverty in America. This is Shirley Smith reporting. Thank you for tuning into Your Voice Matters.